We've done Hebrews chapter 1, the first three verses. The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, gave a better message than the Old Testament prophets. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, is better than angels. As God, and he's called God in Hebrews 1:8, Jesus is to be worshipped. The angels are lower. The angels worship God. Jesus is higher. The original readers and all Christians now believe the Lord Jesus Christ is better than angels. So that was kind of an odd argument, except the real point is the Lord Jesus Christ is higher than the Old Testament worship system. He's better than angels. He's higher than the temple, higher than the synagogue. And this argument fits the book of Hebrews. Don't go back. Don't leave the church and go back to the synagogue. Don't leave the church and go back to the temple. Hebrews was written at the time of the Roman-Jewish War. The Romans were coming. They were going to destroy Jerusalem and the temple. The Christian readers of the book were welcome to support Israel, but not go back to Judaism. Not think that Judaism was more important than staying in the church. Don't drop out of the church. There is a special reference in Hebrews to former Jewish priests. Many of the priests had become obedient to the faith, and these were likely the ones who were being asked to go back to the temple, being asked to go back to Judaism. The Roman army is coming, so you people who are Christians, now come back to Judaism. Now come back to being priests in the temple. And the book of Hebrews repeatedly says, don't go back. Applied to 2026, it would be the same thing. Don't go back to your former groups. Don't go back to your former religion. Don't go back. Today, we begin Hebrews chapter 2, and it will also say don't go back, but a specific wording is don't drift away. So if you'll come to Hebrews chapter 2, we'll look at verse 1. Hebrews 2:1. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. The transitional line is for this reason. Well, for what reason? Because the Son is more important than Old Testament message. Because the Son is more important than angels. For this reason, we must pay closer attention to the Son's commandment, to the Son's teaching. We must pay closer attention to the church's New Testament teaching and not drift away, not drift back. In their specific case, don't go back to the temple worship system. It's okay to support Israel in the battle and care about Israel people, but don't go back to Judaism. Don't go back to the wrong groups that they were in the past. We've already mentioned that Hebrews gave a lot of medical phrases. The division of the joints and marrow, chapter 4, verse 12, chapter 12, verse 13, dislocated. So there's medical things, makes a little bit of support that Dr. Luke wrote it. Medical things But here we have nautical things. We have shipping illustrations. Don't drift away. Later in chapter 6, we'll have another nautical illustration of an anchor. The Lord Jesus Christ is anchored in heaven, and we are tied to him or roped to him here down below. And someday he will drag us up to heaven where he is anchored to heaven. Nautical illustrations. Here it is, drifting off. Boats can drift if they're not anchored. We had this up north in the river. If you didn't put the thing down there, you'll drift down the river. And if it's humid and cold, you can drift away in the fog. Some lakes can be very deep. An anchor won't go down that far. And then you would drift away. Drifting away would cause less of a catch of fish, not doing anything important in life. Drifting away would be in the wrong direction of where you want to go. And drifting away could be dangerous. The illustration is drifting away. Chapter 3, later we'll talk about wandering off. That's kind of the same thing. Don't drift away. Don't wander around like they did in the Exodus for 40 years. Drifting away. That is the correct interpretation of the word here, although the Greek word can also be used of drifting down the throat and choking, swallowing. We can swallow, and if it goes down our windpipe, we can choke. So don't drift away in the wrong direction, away from God's teachings and the church, New Testament teachings. Don't choke and go back. Pay closer attention to God's word. Believers will not die eternally, but believers can kind of drift away through life, can kind of spiritually cough things up, floating through life in a spiritual fog. The opposite, more important here, give closer attention to what we have heard. We have heard the Lord's teaching. The Lord's teaching came through eyewitnesses that saw him personally. And that's the main point. Don't drift away. Pay close attention to Jesus' eyewitnesses. A secondary point will be that they had gifts to prove that they were the apostles, signs and wonders and miracles. So we'll do both topics. Eyewitnesses make the New Testament truth accurate. Then we'll talk about miraculous gifts. We will look at verse 2 now. Even though we'll stop in the middle of a sentence, we'll read just verse 2. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression received and disobedience received a just penalty, we'll do the next part later. Words spoken by angels. Every once in a while, there's specific speaking by angels, but best, this probably refers to the whole Old Testament. The law of Moses was given by God, but often spoken through angels. At the time of Jesus and the apostles, conservative Jews thought that the Old Testament was spoken by angels. And this is like Stephen's speech just before he was stoned. Acts 7:53, you have received the law as ordained by angels. So God spoke, but maybe angels repeated it. Or maybe in some cases the angels gave God's words, but repeated it. It talked about in the Mount Sinai that there were all kinds of angels around. Psalm 68:17, the chariots of God are myriads and thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them as at Mount Sinai when God gave the law. Well, chariots of God make one think of angels, like in the story of Elisha. So at Mount Sinai, there were all these angels all around. Moses wrote this about the giving of the law in Deuteronomy 33:1-2. Now, this is the blessing which Moses, the man of God, blessed the sons of Israel before his death. The Lord came down from Sinai. He came down in the midst of 10,000 holy angels. So there were angels around Mount Sinai when the law was given. They may have repeated God's commandments. The point here in Hebrews 2 is that God the Son is superior to the angels. God the Son is superior to the Old Testament message. The New Testament message is superior to the Old Testament message. The Old Testament is also from God. It is infallible. When it is carried over in the New Testament, we still have to obey it. But God the Son is superior. Give more attention to God the Son. Give more attention to God the Son's message. And specifically, don't go back. Everybody in the Old Testament who disobeyed God's message had a penalty. So why would they think that there will not be a penalty from disobeying Jesus' message? Don't go back to Judaism. Apply to 2026. Don't go back to the former worldviews. Don't go back to the former groups. Matthew 16:18, you are Peter, meaning rock. Upon this rock I will build my church. Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. Give more attention to Christ. Give more attention to the eyewitnesses that saw Jesus and heard his teaching. Don't drift back. Specifically, don't drift back to Judaism, to the original readers. In our case, don't drift back to your former groups. Don't drift back to the former beliefs. This would bring chastisement. Now, in verse 3, there will be more than one teaching, so we're going to just look at the first phrase and stop and look at the rest of it later. So we'll do Hebrews 2, shall we call it 3a, just the first line of it. For how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The Son's messages were from God. The Son is superior to angels. The Son is superior to the temple. Don't go back. It will be risky to neglect, quote, so great salvation. We better work on defining salvation. In the Bible, there's past salvation, present salvation, and future salvation. Past salvation refers to salvation from sin by trusting in Jesus as Savior. All believers already have past salvation. They've already been saved by faith through sin's penalty. The lines here would fit that. The lines alone, not in the context, would fit evangelism. Don't neglect salvation. Make sure you've trusted in Jesus as Savior, or there will be a penalty. This is a true statement, and it is something that must not be neglected, salvation from sin. However, if this is the intended meaning, then Hebrews is directed to unsaved people. You'd have to be telling unsaved people, don't neglect salvation from sin by trusting in Jesus. Well, it's really directed at Christians. is telling Christians not to neglect their salvation. By definition, we have already trusted in Jesus and have salvation from sin's penalty, but the readers must not neglect the future salvation. He will come again and take us away from sin's very presence. Don't neglect future salvation and drift off. Looking ahead to verse 5, which we'll do next time, but look ahead to verse 5. It's very future. The close of verse 5, the world to come concerning which we are speaking. The world to come concerning which we are speaking is future salvation. In Hebrews chapter 1, there's a lot of reference to inheritance, and that would be a future inheritance. In Hebrews 1:2, the Son is the heir of all things. And in chapter 2, it's talking about the world to come. In verse 5 and in verse 10, he is bringing many sons to glory. So the stress here is don't neglect your future salvation. Don't neglect that Jesus will come back and take you away from the very presence of sin. Romans 13:11 is future salvation. Now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. We've already been saved as believers in the past from the penalty, but when he comes again, we'll be saved from the very presence of sin. And Romans 13:11 is future salvation. So is Hebrews 9:28. So also Christ, having been offered once for all for the sins of many, will come a second time for salvation. So he's saying here, don't neglect that he will come again. You will be saved from the very presence of sin. Don't neglect your future rewards. Don't neglect that the King is coming. Don't neglect that there will be greater crowns or lesser crowns. Rule over more cities or rule over less cities. Or a greater glory in the resurrection body, because one shines greater than the other like the stars. Don't neglect your future salvation when Jesus comes back. And that's kind of what it's being talked about. Now, we're going to read verse 3 again, all of it, and finish all the way through verse 4. How shall we escape some sort of penalty if we neglect our future salvation? Already saved from the penalty, but be saved from the presence. Don't forget that. After it was at first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his word. Authority from us is from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he passed it down to those who heard him directly. Mostly the apostles. We have to say 11 because you can't put Judas on the list. So the 11 apostles gave us Jesus' teaching. Others who saw Jesus would be like his half-brothers. Jesus was a firstborn, born of a Virgin Mary, but Mary and Joseph seem to have had more children. Now, their names are in the Bible, but we think mainly of James and Jude, who wrote the Bible books of James and Jude. So these are the main authority, the main way we get the lessons from Jesus, from the apostles, and from his half-brothers. One lesson is there can be no more books of the Bible. Nothing more could be written past the time of the witnesses or those that work directly with the witnesses. There is no Quran. There is no Book of Mormon. These people did not see Jesus. They were not around. Can't be part of the Bible. Also, another conclusion is there probably would not be any more sign gifts. Sign gifts were given to confirm the apostles. Since there are no more apostles, good, have seen the risen Jesus. Since there are no more apostles and there are no more eyewitnesses, there would be no more sign gifts. That matters a little bit in Christian theology today. Sign gifts and the apostles went together in the Bible. There are none left. In the book of Acts, there are quite a few. I've just listed some. Sign gifts and the apostles. Acts 2:43. Many sign gifts are taking place through the apostles. Acts 5:14. At the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people. The exact phrase, signs of the apostles, is in 2 Corinthians 12:12. Hebrews says that God in the past gave evidence through the apostles. There are no more eyewitnesses of Jesus. There wouldn't be any more books of the Bible. And we would think that sign gifts have passed. Saying that sign gifts have passed is called cessationist theology, the cessationist position. Probably there were miracle workers for a generation or two. I think the apostles could bestow the gifts of miracles upon others around them. And for a generation or two, there were probably miracle workers, but there are no more apostles. There are no more people who have the gifts of miracle workers. We do not expect any more miracle workers. Saying that there are no miracle workers is not saying there couldn't possibly be a miracle. Not all reports of miracles are wrong. God could do miracles directly, but that's a little bit different than miracle workers. Doesn't happen too often, but I've been around people that say they're miracle workers. And I usually take them off the lawn and take them and say, there are the hospitals over there, empty them. We're going to watch everybody come out. There are no more eyewitnesses of Jesus. No more apostles to give sign gifts. No more miracle workers. Miracles? Okay. Miracle workers? No, don't think there are miracle workers. Can God still do a miracle? Yeah, God can still do a miracle. But that's a little bit different than saying there are miracle workers. No more eyewitnesses of Jesus, no more books of the Bible, no more miracle workers. These first four verses were the first of what's called the warning passages in the book of Hebrews. There will be warning passages all through the book of Hebrews. This one is don't drift away. Don't go back to your former groups. Don't go back to your former beliefs. We would say now, don't go back to your former groups and beliefs now, although this was the temple. Those who did depart, drifted away, there would be a penalty. How will Christians escape any penalty if they neglect their future salvation? They're already saved, but they might neglect their future salvation by going back to the Judean religion. It's talking about the world to come in chapter 2, verse 5. It's talking about future rewards, future salvation. Pay attention to the future. At the judgment seat, get bigger crowns, gold, silver, precious stones, not wood, hay, or stubble. It says in Colossians 2:18, don't lose your reward. Get ruling over more cities in the millennium. 10 or 5 cities in Luke 19, rule as many, get a greater glory. Hebrews chapter 2 will continue for next time, but they'll keep saying, don't go back to your old ways. And it will say in Hebrews 2:10 that the Son is bringing us to glory, so don't go back. Don't go back to Judaism, original readers. Don't go back to your old ways, old beliefs, old groups. Will the musicians please come?